Yeah, your screen is visible in full screen. Perfect. So I'll hand over to you. You can take us through your presentation. So I think the format is simple. You do the presentation. I guess you will do it in one go. And then the format is actually I would kindly ask some members to mute their mics so that we don't hear background noise during the presentation. So you do your presentation and then we can go to the question time, question and answer session. So there are two ways. Either you raise your hands, which is at the button somewhere in the toolbar down there, or you can type your question in the chat box, which is even better. Then we will filter the questions and then we will take turns at giving you the, maybe if you want to speak, actually, you can actually speak and give and ask your question, and then we'll members present will answer. So over to you, Ibra. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christian. And once again, good afternoon, everyone, and good morning for some of us who are still in the morning from the other part of the continent. The objective of this presentation is really to inform the colleagues from the REC and from the countries and from the specialized agencies dealing with the PIDA project, and to inform them about the PIDA service delivery mechanism, about the service that we offer, and how they can get in touch and benefit from those services. My presentation is structured as follows. I will first give an introduction that will touch on the African Union Development Agency very briefly, and then the Economic Integration Division under which falls the service delivery mechanism. And then on the second point, I will take us through the SDM process, what it is and how it works. And I will zoom on the third point on our methodology for project screening. And on the fourth point, I will present the current SDM portfolio before highlight the key role that SDM will play in the PIDA PAP 2 process. And then I will give an overview of our capacity in terms of the team. And then before concluding, I will present some key opportunities and the challenges that the mechanism is facing, with the expectation that together we will be able to either tap into those opportunities or address collectively the challenges. And then I will hand over to Krishna, who will moderate the session of questions and answers. I will be very brief in the presentation so that I can give time to the questions and the responses. I would like to note that is, apart from myself, we have colleagues from the AUD and EPAD, particularly my colleague Elsa Tedros and Teach and Abdu, who may step in at any time during the Q&A to enhance and improve and also comment on the different responses. As for introduction, I'm sure many of colleagues from the countries and from the regional bodies are aware of the transformation of the agency of the New Partnership for Africa's Development, known as the NEPAD agency, to the development agency of the Union, with one of the key mandates is to really support member states in the execution of regional and continental priority projects. And that support should be made in terms of capacity building and technical advisory services, as well as brokering partnership for the development of the countries. And this mandate is framed in the single vision of harnessing knowledge to deliver the achievement of Agenda 2063. And we are operating currently through six thematic areas, and one of those thematic areas is economic integration, that is dealing with issue relating to infrastructure and connectivity across the continent, the issue around trade and market within the continent and outside, and finally the issue around developing a vibrant private sector on the continent. So the slide that you see on the screen presents an overview of the Economic Integration Division within AUDA NEPAD. Like I said, our task is mainly to support the implementation of PIDA in terms of infrastructure project, to support the implementation of the Continental Free Trade Area in terms of markets and trade, but also to undertake cross-cutting activities that aims to strengthen the private sector at country level, but also to enhance the participation of private sector into the trade and infrastructure agenda of the continent. The overall delivery model of the Economic Integration Division is supported by the architecture that you can see on the screen. We are operating mainly in two areas. One is infrastructure, two trade. On the aspect of infrastructure, our backbone in terms of delivery is the PIDA project, and particularly the PIDA PAP 1 for now. So the first phase of the PIDA Priority Action Plan. And once we undertake, or once we receive a project, we have a number of instruments that are developed to support the PIDA PAP 1 project. One of those instruments, of course, is the PIDA Service Delivery Mechanism for Project Preparation that this presentation will details all about. But in addition of that, you have the Continental Business Network, CBN, that aims in mobilizing private investment. And then we have other tools that are related to either the CBN or the SDM, like the 5% Agenda campaign for the mobilization of institutional investors, the Africa Infrastructure Guarantee Mechanism, AIGM, that's under development. You have the PIDA job creation toolkit that many of us are aware of, that assess the developmental impact of project in terms of job creation. And one critical platform in terms of information management, monitoring and evaluation is VPIC. Ephraim, who is managing VPIC, is here with us. And I'm sure many of us have observed the critical role that VPIC is playing in serving as a platform of engagement for all of us, be it from availing the overall PIDA portfolio online, but also availing a platform for the PIDA PAP 2 project identification process. This said, I would now move to the presentation of the PIDA Service Delivery Mechanism itself. In January 2015, there was a specific decision of the African Union Assembly that endorsed the mechanism in the context of the Dakar Agenda for Action, with the single aim to advance early stage project preparation and increase the bankability of PIDA project, particularly the first priority action plan. A little background on the Dakar Agenda for Action, that was actually the starting point of the CBN, is the starting point of the CBN is that after the launch of PIDA in 2012, 2 years later in 2014, the chairperson of the NEPAD Head of State and Government Orientation Committee convened a dedicated and special conference to explore ways and means to fast track the implementation of PIDA, which is the Dakar Financing Summit. And at that conference, some critical challenges were identified as real bottlenecks toward the implementation of PIDA. One of them being lack of resources and the capacity for project preparation at the early stage. And that's why the NEPAD agency at that time, now AUDA NEPAD, was requested to provide a response. And that response was the development of the PIDA service delivery mechanism in 2014 and its endorsement by the union in 2015, January precisely. You can appreciate how speedy the process was because of the urgency. The Dakar summit was held in June 2014, and from June to January, the agency accelerated the process and to establish the service delivery mechanism, and in January, the head of state endorsed it. The PIDA service delivery mechanism aims mainly, like I said, to address the issue of capacity and the resources for early stage project preparation. Dedicated to regional infrastructure project or project that have a regional dimension. And for now, those two streams are within the PIDA list. So our focus has been the PIDA Priority Action Plan, the basket of the project that you can see on the VPIC website. The core goal of SDM is really to create a quality standard when it comes to project preparation on the continent, but also to bring in international best practice into our project preparation cycle, and at the end, ultimately, to enhance the bankability of PIDA project so that we can be able to to enhance the bankability of PIDA project so that we can be able to attract financing for the implementation of the project. The SBM has some core functions and some corporate functions. This slide zooms on the core functions. We have three of them, one being the early stage project support, and where we identify issue around enabling environment, project definition, and conceptualization of project. And the second function is about project preparation facilities, stage support. We have a very strong partnership and relationship with project preparation facilities like NEPAD IPPF, where we understand their requirements, the requirement to admit project. And one of SDM's function is to assist project, PIDA project, to access to the project preparation facility support. But we also have a third function about advanced stages, where we carry diagnostic on project for financial viability and also further investability screening. On the project advisory, on the project advisory side, so the first set of core functions, the three ones that are the main one, are related to the project development. In terms of advisory, we intervene mainly in technical advisory or through the SDM Expert Service Pool. The SDM Expert Service Pool is a contracted firm that has a diversified and multidisciplinary team that is ready to intervene whenever we receive a request on a specific project and once we identify the specific need. Later on, I will come to explain the process on how we admit project. But also institutional arrangement in terms of policy harmonization, regulatory framework. And the final set of our core function is on the finance and early structuring and risk allocation support. For now, that function is not very much active because the critical challenges are either at the project. Thank you. Like I said, the finance and the risk structuring, risk allocation function is not very much active for now because our present challenges are either on project development or on technical advisory services. On the corporate functions, it involves the issue around stakeholder engagement, knowledge management, monitoring, evaluation, and the reporting of our activities. Now I presented the functions of the SDM, or what we do. Then this slide starts the explaining the process, how we do it. You may recall in the earlier slides, I said one of the key goal of the key goals of SDM is to build standard of excellence when it comes to project preparation of regional infrastructure project on the continent. And the way we do it is through the PIDA quality label, which is a recognition process we have developed, and that when a project went through the quality level process or screening, we can assure the partners that the project has met the level of quality in its preparation stages. And the process is being carried through the quick check methodology that I will explain later. But overall, we screen the project, we develop what we call the project concept memorandum, and then the project information memo, which may even link to a financial agreement. As you can see, the PIDA quality level has three stages depending on the maturity level of the project. The first level is the first quality level is on the first stages, like S0 to S1. I'm sure we are very well aware of the PIDA stages codification. So for projects that have not yet reached feasibilities, one of the key support that the SDMs have provided is in terms of screening the project, identifying its weakness, and then deliver the project concept memo. And the project concept memo can be the basis for the second stage of the quality level, which is dedicated for projects that are from the pre-feasibility stages to the completion of feasibility stages. And that process can lead to the production of the project information memo, and the PIM can serve as the basis for the third stage, which is supporting the project structuring and transaction and financial close. And then the final product will be the financial agreement. These stages are details in the business process and decision making flow of the SDM. And I would like to emphasize on this slide because it is the core slide that I think if we capture the process, then we understand the way the PIDA service delivery mechanism operates. So the first question we may ask ourselves is, we understand that the SDM provide technical assistance and support for project preparation. But if I do have a project, how can I access to the SDM? You access to the SDM through an application. And how do you apply? There is two ways. Is that you can either directly contact the AUDA NEPAD, where we will provide you with the application form, and we will support you to fill the application form. And once the application form is filled and submitted, we will review that application. And the review is a bidirectional interactive process where we will first see it and inform you that this is what is missing and so on and so forth. Once we receive the final application, then we present it internally to the SDM technical team and management. And decision will be made to admit the project within the SDM portfolio. Once the project is admitted, then we can move ahead depending on the assessment of the application to the production of the project concept memo. Once we produce the project concept memo, within that document, it will articulate the services that we can provide to you as the project sponsor. It will also articulate the details of the activities, but it also articulate the cost of those activities, both financially, but in terms also of human resources, and how much we can contribute and how much we may expect from you, be it in terms of capacity or in other type of contribution. Once we agree with that, we can now deliver the services. For some projects, the support can continue up to the post-feasibility stages of the project, and we can go up to exploring the support in the project structuring, for example, public-private partnership and so on and so forth. The next slide will, so this slide is articulating the deliverables and the key milestone depending on the stages of the business model that I just presented. So like I said, we will start with the project screening, and then we will develop the project concept memo. Now, one critical point I should mention is that as a development agency as it is the best practice in the industry, that once we agree that, for example, after the production of the project concept memo, that we will support the project to access funding for detailed feasibility studies, for example, evidently SDM will commit funding. So we will commit our resources to make sure that the project have access to the project preparation facility financing for detailed studies. And one point that I wish to mention is that there is an eventuality, there is a possibility, it's plausible that we, part of the agreement of that support, we may say that once you access the financing from the project preparation facilities, we have a certain percentage of our cost that we have committed that can be recovered. So it won't be on the project sponsor actually to that cost recovery. It may not actually even be a financial way to recover it, but it will be on the project preparation facility. One precision that is very important to make is that the project preparation facilities are looking for projects that have met a certain level of maturity of early stage preparation. And early stage project preparation cost resources. And many of the project preparation facilities are not willing to spend resources and to enhance the enabling environment or achieve the setup of the project or even improve the pre-feasibility studies. So we step in and we fill that gap. What I'm trying to say here is that once we fill that gap, the project preparation facility should appreciate and will appreciate that we have committed resources and there is a possibility that we can have a certain cost that can be recoverable through the process. And then we can move. If after the financing of the studies, the SDM services is required also to support the transaction and the financial close, at that level also, we can have an agreement with the project sponsor that once the project reach financial secure funding through our support for the implementation for its implementation, there is a possibility that we can recover a certain percentage of the cost that we have committed for the project to access the funding for its implementation. And this slide shows the key stages, the two types of stages of the advisory. So evidently the first one is the regular one or the real early stage advisory before project move to feasibility stage. And then the advanced advisory services deal with the issue around assisting project to meet financial close. Now, I presented briefly the way SDM process and what kind of services we can provide and at which stage of the project development cycle. One point that I mentioned is that we admit project, we assess project through the PDA quality level quick check methodology. The following slide will detail the aspect of that quick check methodology. So the quick check methodology is a process that takes into account multi-dimensional aspect of the project, be it technically speaking or financially speaking or developmental impact of the project. And at the end of the screening, we will see the weakness and the strength of the project, and we will draw the potential support that the project need and that we can provide. We have a two-step of the quick check methodology that are strongly linked with the three level of the PDA quality level I mentioned. One is the eligibility. So the eligibility process of the methodology is simple. It's simply to see if the project is part of the PDA project, if it's a regional priority project, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have the project appraisal process. The eligibility process is based on the application form. And if we have the application form completed, we can complete it in 5 working days, so in 1 week. And the appraisal process leads to the production of the project concept memorandum or the application of some job creation estimation, etc. That stage, depending on the magnitude of the project, we can take up to a full month to complete it. Now, what are the components of project criteria that we use to screen a project? We have two lengths, 5 dimensions, and several components. We have the strategic context of the project that have 3 dimensions. One is regional priority. For example, the project has regional interest and there is a strong political commitment that is expressed. We have also the sector readiness, which looks at the policy regulation, harmonization of the sector or the lead organization and the maturity of the sector itself. And the third dimension of the strategic context is the private sector interest. The private sector interest is linked to the potential access to finance, the assessment of the country risk, and you will appreciate that those are very important for investors, but also the overall investor appetite on the project. And the second lens is about the project readiness itself. And on that, we have two components, two dimensions. One is the project readiness. The project readiness look at the issue around technical viability, financial viability, the issue around environmental and social governance, and also the risk allocation. And finally, you have the public-private partnership attractiveness that look at the if the project meets the requirement for a potential PPP. On the right side of the slide, you can see, for example, one of the potential outcome of the project. Once we finish the screening, this chart present in a, with this web chart present a way, a simple way, a visual way for you to see where is the strength of the project. For example, on this case, one of the clear strengths is the financial viability of the project. And in terms of weakness, you can see, for example, the governance or the technical viability. And then we can identify and recommend some key action to the project sponsor or the project owners that we can undertake. So once we have screened the project, so this slide presents the implementation stage. Like I said, once we have the project, we will screen the project, and then we will admit the project into the SDM portfolio, and then we will confirm it and after the project appraisal. And in the meantime, you will have different stages of activities. Now, this is a reiteration of the application process that I mentioned. How can you apply to the SDM? Basically, you can have we have two aspects. One is the active one, where you will notify, like I said, through we will notify you from our side. We will take the proactive step and inform you that we have identified this project and the SDM has the potential to support you in this and that. If you agree, then we will share the application form, where you will fill the application form. We will review the application form through, like I said, interactive communication, and then we can admit the project in the portfolio. The other way, which is passive from our side but active from your side, you can take knowledge of the SBM services through the VPIC website, and you can apply online because there is a link for SDM on the platform. You can apply online, and then we can assess your application the same way we assess it during the active process. Or you can download the application form and fill it and forward it via email, and then we can take the process the same way I explain it on the first way to do it. So this is the way you can apply to the SDM services. And once you apply, this slide shows the communication flow from the letter we will send to the project sponsor or the notification we will receive, up to the confirmation of the project within the SDM portfolio. Now, I presented the objective and the goals of SDM. I presented the way we process project and the services we can offer. I presented the business model and how you can access to the services. I keep referring to the SDM portfolio. The following slide will show then in concrete term what does the SDM portfolio look like? For this year, we have currently 89 projects in the SDM portfolio. Among those 89 projects, it doesn't mean that we are working on each and every one of them on a daily basis. No, we have 10 projects that are currently in progress, and you can see them in the, they are listed. You have a project that we have them in the portfolio. We took the active way in contacting the project sponsor that we have, but we have not yet received a reaction. And then you can have the third list of the project that we took the proactive way. We have some exchanges with the project sponsor, but so far no concrete step or result have been achieved in that regard. And I would like to seize the opportunity of having all the colleagues from the countries, the RECs, and the regional organization here to say that this is really an opportunity for us to request also your responsiveness. So if there, after this meeting, let's continue the conversation. If there is any project that we do have the project sponsor in during this webinar or even after, please let us know. Maybe one of the key challenges of this virtual era of ours is that it's, you can easily confuse the right contact person. So if we have addressed, for example, our communication to the wrong entity, it's evidently clear that we cannot have the expected response as effectively as we can have it if we send the communication to the right person. So I would assume that the colleagues that we have in this call are the right contact person in terms of PIDA project. And if there is any project that is under your portfolio that is listed among the list, among the projects that are not in progress, I would appreciate that we can continue the conversation after or after the presentation. Now, like I said, we have projects that are in progress. Those who have we have not received any feedback, but for the projects that are on in progress, we are continuing with the quick check methodology appraisal, as I explained. And we are elaborating the project concept memoranda and advisory services. Now, this slide details the project that are in progress, the 10 projects. You can have a look on the breakdown by sector or by region or by group. Of economy of regional economic communities. As is traditionally with PIDA project, you can see transport is very present in the list, 7 from the 10 project. But what is very important here to mention is that even though water projects are in minority in the PIDA PAP1 portfolio, on our current portfolio, we are working on 3 water projects, and the one of the key reasons is that the water sector is benefiting more and more from partnership across the world. In particular, in our case, our relationship with the Global Water Partnership revealed to be very helpful in stimulating the responsiveness of the project sponsor. Now, we have now the slide on project that we have contacted the project sponsor and we didn't get responses. And like I said, you have the breakdown by region and by the RECs, but actually you have the full list of the project name and the project are distributed across the four of the five regions of the continent. We have grouped the project in targeted programs. You are certainly aware that within PIDA process, particularly in the VPIC platform, projects are packed per big program. For example, North-South Multimodal Corridor, or Praia Dakar Abidjan Lagos Corridor, or North-South Corridor, or the Central African Power Interconnection Project, or program, I mean. So we have classified our portfolio in that category. Great. Now, I presented now the SDM portfolio. You have then an idea on a practical way on project that we are working, and you can see how fit is your project, because some of the projects are similar of yours. Now, the burning question going forward for the next years is, what is the SDM's role in the PIDAPAP2 process? In short, PIDAPAP, be it one or two, is the way for the continent to prioritize its infrastructure project. So we cannot do everything at the same time. So the countries agreed to put a list of priority projects. So that's PIDAPAP. PIDAPAP 2 evidently is the second phase of that priority list. And the advantage of having the phase per phase prioritization is that we can learn from past experience and improve the design of that priority list. SDM is an instrument to support that priority list. You have many other instruments. For example, I mentioned the Continental Business Network, the NEPA Infrastructure Project Preparation Facility, NEPA IPPF, and so on and so forth. So we are an instrument at the service of the Continental Priority Action Plan of Infrastructure Project. That's clear. Now, how do we contribute in that? The way we are planning to contribute in advancing PIDAPAP 2 implementation once the project are selected is, in one way, first, we will screen all the PIDAPAP 2 project. So all the projects that will be endorsed by the Special Technical Committee on Infrastructure, the STC, and subsequently approved by the Assembly of the Union, we will take the step and screen all of them and through the quick check methodology. Our objective is that PIDAPAP 2 project need to meet the PIDA quality level project preparation standard. We will screen those projects. We will identify their needs, their weakness, their strength, and whenever we can, we will support those projects with advisory and services. Where we cannot, we will broker partnership and mobilizing stakeholders from other institutions to support the execution of those need of the project that we have identified through the SDM screening process. So in a nutshell, this is the role that the SDM will play in the PIDAPAP 2 process. I'm sure we can enhance our understanding of that service during the Q&A process. The next slide will give you an overview, or is giving you an overview of how we are organized as a team. So we have the coordination structure. There is an SDM technical working group, but before the technical working group, you have the SDM transaction working group. The SDM's transaction working group is a platform where all the technical discussion on the project is happening, where we analyze the your submission of application, and we identify the gap, the need, and the services that the project may need. And once we have those, we package it and we submit it to the SDM Technical Working Group for approvals and for recommendation and further guidance. In terms of the support structure, in terms of team, we have a team of made of program officers and advisors, as well as some regional analysts, some regional project analysts, and special analysts like transaction advisors or job creation specialists to handle the toolkit. I would have to mention that some of these positions are not yet filled, so it's not like we have all these teams, but we do have the SDM expert service pool that I mentioned earlier, and the expert service pool for now has a capacity of more than 20 experts, depending on the need, depending on the sector, depending on the activity. That expert pool is contracted and is loaded up to July 2021. And I would like to appeal then to the colleague that we can really take advantage of that process. Quickly, on the challenges of the and opportunities, and evidently you are the member state, our bosses, so, but you are also our client, so it would be transparent with you in terms of staffing. They may have a challenges in resourcing the SDM with required number of staff. The SDM expert service pool is currently being financed by the German government through their technical cooperation agency GIZ. That means we are reflecting on plans and strategies to sustain the pool after that, and also what is the best option to go. We may have also challenges in terms of data and security and confidentiality. That one is being addressed in-house. The AUDNEPAD has availed a platform for SDM to store confidently and in a very secured way all the documentation we will be received. So if you submit document to the SDM, I can say to the extent of the possible, you don't have to be worried about the issue around confidentiality or the issue around security of your documentation if they are confidential. And also we can sign a non-disclosure agreement so that we can reinforce that issue of confidentiality. The other point on the expert service pool, as I said, the expert service SDM requires technical skills, and the expert service pool can by July 2021 will end, and we need to sustain it beyond, particularly in the context of PDAPAP 2. In conclusion, the SDM is an infrastructure project preparation mechanism that provides technical assistance to countries. I think it's very important, technical assistance. The reason we are framing technical assistance, as you have seen through the presentation, is that we do not disburse funding, we disburse expertise. So if we receive your application, we agree on the activity that need to be undertaken. We are not going to disperse funds to the project organization, but we are going to avail experts that will carry the activities. So you don't have to worry about procurement and so on and so forth. We take care of it. The SDM tackle the issue around technical and financial capacity, like I said, for project preparation phase. And in terms of our services, we support application for project preparation facility funding for detailed structural studies. We support policy harmonization for cross-border infrastructure project, but also we can carry project diagnostic and solutions, particularly through the quick check methodology. On the PDA quality level, I mentioned that it's a recognition of excellence in project preparation for PDA project, but we intend to extend it to PIDA project, and there is ongoing conversation with various partners within and outside the continent to make the PIDA quality level as a standard and best practice when it comes to regional infrastructure project on the continent. The expert service pool, as I said, is a contracted resources assisting regional and national sponsors with advisory services to accelerate the project. The current pool is funded by Germany through GIZ, and the firm that is contracted, ALG. ALG is, without making any advert, is a very experienced global company in infrastructure and logistics, and to assist with the project preparation up to July 2021. Colleagues, Krishna, this is the end of my presentations. Like I said, I am not alone. We have colleagues from the AUD and NEPAD, Abdu, Teach, and Elsa. With your permission, the moderator, they can either compliment or they can step in during the Q&A session. I thank you very much for your kind attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Ibra. Thank you very much. So thank you for this very clear PowerPoint and presentation. I guess we will post the PowerPoint on the website, the PIDA website, after this webinar. So maybe let us look at the questions in the chat box and see whether we have any hands raised up till now. Let me see. Yeah, we have one. I think Elizabeth, you raise your hands. Maybe you can start. Yeah, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to supplement and congratulate my colleague who has done an exceptional presentation. The only compliment that I would like to make is the role that special initiatives such as PC can make, also in utilizing this instrument. So our focal point is working with us in regards to streamlining that service to PC as well. So that's the only thing I would like to add, in addition to the services that we'll be providing to the RECs and the member states through the RECs. I think the initiatives also have a special role in this. So if there are any additional initiatives that you think we'd also look into when it comes to PIDA Pub project, please do let us know. But I wanted to acknowledge my brother and my colleague, Hanif, who's leading the PC initiative. So just to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. If we don't have any other hands raised, so I will run for the questions in the chat box. So I think there's a first question or a comment from Gilbert. Are you still there? Gilbert, I think, is still with us. He's saying
can you hear me?
Yes, Gilbert. So go ahead. Maybe you can ask your question. Go on.
Yes. The question that I posted was quite early as Ibra was presenting. And at that point of structuring, there was a arm that went to PPPs, and then the other one went across. And I was saying that from once you get to the PPPs, it is not the end. Because I think we have a very big challenge with PPPs. And from PPP, once the option has been PPP, more work needs to be done so that the countries can be able to manage those PPPs post-implementation. In terms of supervision, in terms of until the project is decommissioned or when the PPP term is over, there's a lot of need for capacity. But that is, well, that was the comment I made there. But now, before that, what I learned from this is the intervention is at early stage. This intervention is really more so at the early stage, and probably you don't require a lot of resources here because you don't go into detailed project feasibility study, including material design. Now, once some of the projects, of course, when you're doing detailed design, require quite a lot of money. Is this facility able to proceed to that? And if it does not proceed, whoever takes it, do you follow up? I mean, do you take part in it? Because if it goes and goes to a PPP, you might have done a good job, but you know, in the fourth part, if you are not taking part, then the project may not have the best outcomes. That is my, yeah. How far do you go after the first stage? Thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert. So maybe, I don't know who will intervene, yeah. Maybe Ibra?
Yeah, yes, thank you so much, Gilbert, for the question. Thank you, Krishna. So the first one is, I think that the two questions are very linked in terms of the where do you go from the PPP, but also to acknowledge the fact that indeed countries have challenges in terms of monitoring a PPP contract and so on. So to be brief, we operate on case per case. For example, after our support on the early stage, so for example, at feasibility stage, once we agree with the project sponsors and we complete those assignments, they may have a need to further advisory for the feasibility and structuring stages. In that aspect, we have two ways to do it. And the most suitable way for us is to help the project access funding for those studies from traditional project preparation facilities. So let's, for example, if we supported the project for pre-feasibility studies and there is a need for detailed structuring and detailed feasibility studies, our services will be to help you access those funds. So we may not be the one that will carry the studies, but we will help you to access those funding, and we will open the door for you to have those funding. So that's one of our support. Now, if the project is identified as a potential PPP, if the project is identified as a potential PPP, evidently what will happen is that the project preparation facility that will be involved and the other financial institutions will work with you. But what we can do is to support you in achieving that. Now, more broadly, if I can go beyond this framework of SBM on public-private partnership, ANDA NEPAD has indeed acknowledged that the need of capacity. And currently, we have undertaken an assessment of need in PPP, need of capacity in PPP across our countries, and very soon we will undertake a selected, targeted capacity building exercise in terms of training of our member state officials that are dealing with PPPs, so that we can provide them with the capacity to manage or to approach public-private partnerships. Additionally, I think one of the key issues is also related to institutional frameworks when it comes to public-private partnership across our countries. And on that aspect also, we are working towards at least a continental best practice guidelines for public-private partnership. And Gilbert, we would truly appreciate if we can take this conversation even further after this meeting on the specific topic of PPP. Thank you. If colleagues can compliment, please, Krishna, allow them to go ahead.
Yeah, please. Yes, anybody from AUDA or maybe wants to compliment?
Yes, Krishna, can I come in?
Yes, please, Morgan, go on.
Yes, I think the question was about post the PPP decision and the structuring and possibly the advisors and appointment of transaction advisors, and then obviously the tendering process and the competitive bidding process. Now, this is something that falls within the advanced services of STM and what STM can support. I think in the diagram and in the information, we didn't provide a lot of detail, but this kind of service will be provided to member states on an as and when required, and we will engage with member states or project owners or RECs when they do require this and provide the necessary support. So it will be based on a project-by-project basis. But by and large, what my colleague Ibra mentioned is that you will see a lot of focus on projects in the early stage, and there will be many projects that will come through from AUDA, from the AUC list, that will be in a very advanced stage that will go through this process very quickly because they will be moving towards implementation. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan. Anybody else? So
yes, I could ask a question, please.
Please, Gilbert, go on.
Yeah. Thank you. Ibra, why do you think there was such a non-response from the from the project owners for the list of projects that you just showed to us? I would have expected them to respond quickly because they are getting assistance. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's an interesting question. I can only speculate, but I will try to be as objectively speculative as possible. So one key reason is that we missed the right context. So from our side, meaning that the key contact details that we have is not the right one. So maybe the email is no longer active, or the person has left the institution, or the person is not the one managing the portfolio of the project. So that's one. The second reason is that, and we should not minimize that, this COVID-19 pandemic has structurally disturbed the functioning of some of our public services. People are working from home, and it's not easy at some points to keep track of emails, conversation in some of part of this continent when you are working from home. So we can also take it as a cognizant. The third reason that can be a bit tricky is that colleagues at the government level have some kind of workload that they have prioritized, and we need to be more insisting and proactive in stimulating the responsiveness. But I would like to stick to the first set of possibility that we have missed the right contact person. Thank you. But I'm sure Elsa can compliment or Morgan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
please go on, Elsa. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Ibra. I think you've captured everything, but some of the key things that we are trying to change also is how we work in SDM. We're very stretched with capacity, but nevertheless, I think we're trying to streamline our efforts in PWP1, but there are some things that are crossing over in PWP2, some projects that are there. And so we're using that crossover to make sure that some of the projects that are appearing in PWP2 can also be assisted in PWP1. There needs to be clarification and the questions to make sure that people understand that SDM is an instrument and it's in parallel to what we're trying to do with PWP1 and PWP2. So on our part, I think the effort that we are making, and this is an example of the webinar, is to inform people a little bit better of what the SDM instrument is and how it fits into the PWP implementation process. The second point is that we have sector experts, Satish and Abdurrahman, who are here among Sami and other people who I'm sure the Rex have spoken to, is working closer with them and working closer with our PDAPUP2 process. So that's some of the adjustments we're making. And then the other thing we're planning on doing is hoping to have a half-day seminar that is a little bit more detailed and explanatory to what SDM is, and then some cases so that people can have a better understanding, and that way they can be better reactive to the services that we are providing to these projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So I think let's move to the other questions. We have, I think, three or four questions lined up. So we have a question from Stum Hay to everybody. Can new regional projects be supported, that is projects not yet on the initial PIDA priority project list? I guess initial means PIDA part one. Maybe Ibra, do you want, maybe I'll compliment later, but I'll let you go first.
May I just...
Yes, please, Dermot. I mean, if you're here, go ahead. Reformulate your question.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Quick introduction. My name is Peter Stormheid. I'm working now for a project supporting ECOWAS in terms of transport and trade facilitation under the 11th EDF. You would like to understand which type of projects can be supported. Can you give a few more explanations on the criteria for project selections? A second question I would like to add is, can RECs also apply, regional economic communities like ECOWAS, SADC, and so on? And third, I would like to add taking into account that a good pre-feasibility or feasibility study depends on the quality of terms of reference for such a study, do you also assist in drafting terms of reference for pre-feasibility studies? I just want to give you one example, it's a hypothetical example, in terms of road safety improvement. If, for example, somebody thinks about creating a multinational training center for drone operations, for traffic surveillance and road maintenance surveillance, would that be a project which could be supported under the PIDA SDA?
Can I go ahead? Thank you, Stamite. To summarize, actually, the question is whether the series of questions, the first one being, can SDM intervene outside PIDA, actually, whether it's PAP 1, PAP 2, doesn't matter. So first question, can projects outside the PIDA program be supported by SDM? Second is, can RECs apply? Are RECs eligible to apply, or must I guess the countries apply directly? And there was also the third question about I didn't note it, but maybe I'll leave it to so the Ibra, can you?
Yeah. Thank you. I will start with the third question that you may not have captured it well.
Yeah.
You said, do we develop term of reference, for example? Yes, we do, and this is one of the the raison d'être of PIDA SDM. One of the basic observation is that at country levels or REC level, sometimes we lack capacity for up-to-date design of term of reference for studies. And as you rightfully mentioned it, it's the term of reference at the end of the day that inform the content of a studies. So we do that. We can support countries in developing a term of reference. And can RECs apply? Yes. Most of the requests we receive are from the RECs, And since you mentioned ECOWAS, our first project, the beneficiary was ECOWAS on the Abidjan-Lagos corridor. And SDM was the instrument that supports the development of the Alcoma institutional and legal frameworks. The corridor, the Abidjan-Lagos Corridor Management Authority. At that time, the expert pool that was contracted was GOF. I think it's a German firm, and it was an extensive, I think, activity that covered up to more than, I think, 12 months, where, because to design the institutional frameworks of the Corridor Management Authority, we have to liaise with all the five countries that involve, with different, evidently, with different policies, framework, with different regulation, and so on and so forth. Now, which type of project, which type of project can serve me? In short, our priorities are the continent's priorities, and those priorities are framed within the PIDA. And it can be the PIDA, the first priority action plan, or the second priority action plan. So I think in short, that's what I can say. The PIDA SDM support PIDA project. The reason I would like to limit us on this is that if you look at the PIDA scope, it is, I understand PIDA PAP 1 has its limitation, and you have some priority project today that may not have been priorities 10 years ago. But going forward, I think the PIDA priorities will reflect very accurately the urgent priority of the continent in terms of regional project. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for your comprehensive response. Thank you.
Thank you, Ibra. Let's move to the next question, which is from Suila. Are you still there, Suila? I don't know. The question is, can countries submit their projects seeking SDM support without validation of RECs, without going through RECs, and without RECs validating the project? So Ibra?
Yeah.
Suila is there, actually. Suila, if you want to...
Yeah,
please, go on.
Thank you, yeah. Krishna.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just want to ask this question, because as you were last time, for the set like eligibility criteria, we set our continental dimension or national projects that have and regional impact. And we say to check this dimension, we have either the project is part of RECs, master plans of the RECs, or there's agreements between countries. But when I see that countries, they can submit their projects, I would like to know how the SDM team, they get to understand if the country negotiated or agreed with neighboring countries or not, because it's like a condition to that make, because the countries, they may advance project as with a national project with regional impacts, but the main interest is national. They get to manage this. I'd like to ask a second question. I say that I see from the presentations they are the beneficiaries, they are member state, RECs, and agencies. Maybe they may, the speaker or the presenter, they can make clarification what we mean by the agencies. Thank you.
Yes, Ibra, you want to answer the question about validation of REC? Is that mandatory, or can you even discuss with member states directly?
Thank you so much. So we can receive application directly from countries. That doesn't mean that a country can submit a project that is not a regional priority by its rights. One thing that maybe I have not insisted on during my presentation is that the SBM screening is evidence-based. So in the application form, you will see detailed questions on, is the project a regional priority? Evidently, regional priorities are set by the regs. So if, for example, a government submits the project and say that indeed the project is a regional priority, the next question is, please submit the evidence. And all the evidence is, it's a documentation. So it certainly will be a REX documentation that sets their regional priority and where we will see clearly that indeed that project is recognized as by the said regional economic communities as a priority. So that's our way, one of our way to clarify that ambiguity so that we cannot, we will avoid a situation where a given country can submit a project that they do believe it's a regional priority while the region have not made a clear consensus on the priority nature of that project. Second question is, what do we mean about agencies? Our agencies, let me take maybe a few examples. The Central Corridor Transport and Transit Authority, CCTTFA, in East/Central Africa is not a REX, but it's within East Africa and Central Africa somehow. But it's a custodian of some projects that are PIDA projects. And through arrangement by countries, that agency or that organization appear to be actually the sponsor of some of the PIDA projects. So evidently we can work with them. Second example is some of the cases of river basin authorities. For example, we have received application from the Volta River Basin Authority, VPA, which is not a REX. However, in the process, in both examples, in the process, it appears clearly that there is a need of close collaboration between the East African community in the case of CCTFA and the project sponsor. And in the case of VBA, some of the documentation when the agency fill the application or fill a documentation, they submit it to the regional economic communities for review and comment. So that at the end of the day, the process is collaborative, inclusive, and participative. So if everything goes very well as planned, there won't be a miscommunication between an agency, a REX, or a country and a REX. Thank you.
Thank you, Ibrahim. Yeah, and I think you mentioned the river basin organizations. We also have the cases of power pools who are very closely, actually, who form part of the most of the power pools are closely linked to the RECs, and the power pool master plans are aligned to the REC master plans for the electricity sector. So yes, even power pools can submit projects within the RECs. So I think Dr. Silit has raised hands. Maybe we hear directly from you, since I think we're going to address your question in any case, which is, what is the interlinkage between SDM and Nepal IPPF? But maybe you can raise the question directly. Dr. Tiny, yes? Go on, you can go on. We can't hear you. Okay, so while
I think they were asking the linkage.
Yeah, the question was what is the interlinkage between SDM and Nepal IPPF? Maybe we can answer the question directly. But no, because I wanted her to, she has raised hands, so maybe she wanted to ask something else. But let us tackle this first one. What is the linkage, interlinkage between SDM and Nepal IPPF?
Thank you. I will go first, and then I'm sure colleagues can complement. So Very important to contextualize, I think. NEPAD IPPF was established, I think.
It's my best course.
Oh, can we mute, please?
Yeah, thank you. Please, yeah, go on, Ibra. I'll try to mute.
Thank you. So NEPAD IPPF, like I said, it was established, I think, 2 or 3 years right after the establishment of NEPAD Secretariat, with the aim of supporting the NEPAD infrastructure agenda, let's say, because at that time we didn't have TIDA. And it's hosted by the African Development Bank, and it's a multi-donor trust fund. Now, the TIDA service delivery mechanism was designed to address not the whole scope of project preparation. So it's not designed as a project preparation facility, but as an instrument to support countries to address the lack of capacity and resources for early stage project preparation. So the clear functional linkages is that the two instruments are designed or established to support the infrastructure vision of NEPAD. The difference is that we can feed NEPAD IPPF with projects. When we support a project with early stage and the project meet the maturity level where they can benefit from, for example, detailed engineering or detailed feasibility studies, our first natural partner project preparation facility is NEPAD IPPF. We can, and we have a very strong collaboration with NEPAD IPPF through ed memoirs, non-letter of intent, and so on and so forth. So that's the way we organize, we work, and like we complement the activity of NEPAD IPPF. And once they receive project also, and they realize that the project is not mature enough to be admitted in their portfolio, there is a mechanism that they can refer the project to us. Now, on maybe less, but what's to be mentioned is that we have also a kind of external partnership relationship in a way that those who fund the multi-donor trust fund of NEPAD IPPF also strongly support the PIDA project agenda, in particular the PIDA SDM. But Elsa can compliment, and also colleagues can compliment.
Thank you, Ibra. I think you've captured it well, but I think one thing we need to remember is the name of the project preparation fund is called NEPAD IPPF. So it takes into account exactly what the mission and vision and the work that we're doing at ADA NEPAD, and to make sure that it's aligned within their support, the African Development Bank's support, but also the IPPS NEPAD support. So we work very closely with them. The only thing I would add to Ibra's comment is we also assist member states and RECs when it comes to project application to perhaps that they have advanced in that early stage and they would like assistance on the application process for project preparation for NEPAD IPPF. We can assist with that. And secondly, it's not only NEPAD IPPF, but if there's other project preparation funds that a project, a PIDAPUP, one in the case that we are discussing, or PIDAPUP 2 project that needs assistance in the submission of an application, we can assist there as well. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Go on, Dr. Silit. Yeah, please, go on. We didn't hear you earlier. Go on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ibra and Mrs. Elizabeth, for the clarification. I have also a couple of questions. Is the pipeline for accepting the project, is it after the STC agreement or the STC approval? Because now I got a little bit confused when you explained. So the process will be that after it is approved by the STC, you take the projects and you start by screening them and select what you find that it is promising and it needs your support, or do we apply for this support after receiving the STC's approval or before? I'm a little bit confused here in the process, a little bit. This is one thing. The other thing that you said, that you can accept proposals or submissions from river basin organizations or RECs. Sometimes the river basin organizations don't have all the basin countries inside as active members in the RBO. Meanwhile, some the RECs under which those RBOs are working sometimes don't have also all the countries. For example, IGAD doesn't have Egypt. EAC doesn't have Egypt, although Egypt is in the NBI, and Egypt now is freezing its activities on the NBI. So how, in this case, can you confirm that the project that you are supporting is following the eligibility criteria? Thank you very much.
I think if we go back to one of your slides, Ibra, if I recall, maybe we can go back to your slides. I recall that you showed a funnel. We showed the submission and then the screening, eligibility screening. And then you actually showed the summit. It's one step ahead beyond the STC. So we have it. Yeah. Obviously, we have the STC and then we have the AU's Heads of State Summit. I guess the final validation of we're talking about PDAPAP 2 will only become effective, will only become, you know, known once we get the final clearance from the summit. This is my understanding, actually, from which is also what your slides was reflecting. So maybe colleagues can
intervene. Yes, Krishna. Yeah. The project the SDM will pick up is the approved list, the approved priority list of projects, which is approved by the head of states.
Yes. Thank you, Abdul. Thank you, Abdul. So, yes, yeah. Morgan, Morgan wants to.
Yes.
Yeah, please.
I just wanted to clarify the point about, for example, where RECs or institutions or agencies have submitted applications without the necessary member state support. Certainly, if those applications do come through and then through the application screening process, there is a filter that filters for that, and those projects would be referred back to get support and agreement on that before we proceed further. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, but maybe I have a question, actually, a subsidiary question to colleagues from SDM, actually. You know, the PIDA is about a long list, so the which is practically the whole list which was submitted. And then there will be a shortlist established. But what happens to the balance, actually? What happens to the other projects which were not in the shortlist? And knowing that it's a rolling list, that is, as soon as projects graduate or move ahead to financial close, to implementation within the shortlist, automatically the other projects in the long list, in the reserve list, move into the priority list. And don't forget, this is a 10-year process. So over a 10-year period, we would expect quite a number of the priority projects to move ahead outside the actually going beyond the S4 stage, like you showed us. So does the SDM intervene then also? Can it also intervene on the wider list, the reserve list, to prepare projects, especially early stage projects, to become more mature, to improve their readiness towards financial close and implementation?
Thank you. Thank you. Just to complement, for example, the response that before addressing your question, Krishna.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
The response that Morgan gave, I think it's clear. We have a filter that we can identify, and the example that Tahani Silate asked, for example, if you have a project that is located on a given country along a river, and the river basin is much larger than the lakes, evidently much larger than the country. So you need to have the non-objection of all the stakeholders. And I can give an example of, we are currently on a case where a project is located the directly concerned countries, it's only two countries, but actually the river basin involves more than two countries, more than five countries. Because we don't have the non-objection on that particular project of all the countries that are stakeholders on that particular river, so the SDM filter does not allow the project to move ahead as far as our process is concerned. We do understand, please appreciate it, we do understand that transboundary water infrastructure are very complex, and we try to accommodate that complexity and we to take it into account in the process. Now, Krishna, on the question about the long list and the short list. So, I will avoid to ask you another question because you ask a question instead of giving you a response. But my point is this. Why is the fundamental reason of design a short list? Is for prioritization. So the very same way that the prioritization will be dynamic, my stand on that, the very same reason that the priority list, the short list will be dynamic and will change, I think it's fair enough for the SDM to accommodate that dynamic. So if the STC approve a shorter list, we will concentrate our energy on that short list and we make sure that the project advanced. And once the project move out of that list, then a new list arrives and then our priority also will focus on that new list. But colleagues can comment on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Abdu. No, I think that's a very, very clear answer. Actually, it clarifies a lot the approach. Since this is a dynamic list, a rolling list, the focus is always on that whatever is active in that dynamic or rolling short list. Okay, I see, Dr. Silid, I think your hand is still raised. Is this a new question, or maybe did we answer fully the questions? I think you raised the point. Another point you raised in the chat was who presents the form, whether it's the REC or the FIDA focal points on the member states, I guess. I think it's that was answered partly in the chat also by Elizabeth. So, presented if the project is whatever. So I think we need actually in the case of PIDA, I can speak what was applied in the case of PIDA. We had both cases. We had the cases where member states submitted projects which were validated by the RECs. We also had the cases of RECs submitting on behalf of member states after receiving some kind of formal clearance, formal ownership commitment from the member states that they support this project. The project is still in their priority, in their country priority. So maybe colleagues, what would be your views on this? The form, I think she's referring to the SDM form.
Yes, but Krishna, but yeah. Also we should also be mindful, because when the list is approved and agreed, it has to be implemented. And that's where NEPAD itself will start engaging RECs and countries. And this is the SDM is one of the instruments I, as a PIDA expert, will be using to make sure that it helps the RECs and the countries to help to make sure that projects are prepared properly to move along the implementation line. So it's not just through the application that they will have access to the SDM. They will also have access to the XAM through the sector experts when it comes to implementing these, the helping to prepare these projects on board.
Okay. Thank you, Abdu, for the clarification. We don't see any hands raised. And I think we've gone through, I guess, all the questions. Are there any other questions or clarifications you would like to raise? We can take, we still have some time.
Krishna, I think there is, yes. I saw a question which is, and the gentleman, or I think the gentleman, Brian Kojo, says it is important when they ask the question, please, will the SDM expert be Africans?
I saw Brian raised that question. Go on. Yeah, I missed that one. Thank you.
Absolutely. It goes without saying that the priority in delivering, at least for a practical purpose, we need someone who understands the African context very well. So evidently, Africans are more than welcome. Now, I mentioned that ALG, for example, is serving as the expert service pool. So ALG is the company, and it's a global company. But if you look at the list of the experts that constitute the expert service pool, yeah, we have a size number of people from Africa, because it's natural. They are the one who know the best in many cases. I'm not saying that someone from Africa doesn't know the infrastructure context of the continent, but those who are dealing with it within the continent, from the continent, knows very well the context. So yes, in short, yes, the expertise, the SDM expertise should be African, and in rare case, we have no problem to benefit from an expertise that comes from outside of the continent. Thank you.
Thank you, Ibra. Thank you for reminding me about this question. Any other questions?
Yes, Chair, if I may.
Yeah, please, Elizabeth, go on.
My question is actually for our audience. A very good question was raised earlier about why weren't people responding in regards to our services. So we would like to hear from you. I mean, you've heard our presentation. We would like to hear from you to see what can we do better. With the proposal of having that half day workshop where we do the presentation and perhaps do a business case. We have now our first client, so maybe we will do something with them to show our success and also the things that we're working on. But we would like to hear from, since we have a little bit of time, with your permission,
yes, Chair,
we'd like to hear from the audience. What are why haven't they used the instrument? So if we can hear from them, that would be great insight for us. Thank you.
Krishna, can I come in on that?
Please, Morgan.
Thank you, colleagues. I think what would also be useful, in line with what Elsa was suggesting, is that what we showed you today was really a high-level process of how this works. It's quite complicated, it's quite involved, and if our audience feels that we need to get into more finer detail, I think we would like that feedback, because then we can, in the next round of interaction, come back with more substantive detail on how this process can easily work and be more friendly towards your own operations. So yes, that kind of feedback would be useful to us. Thank you. Mm.
Yeah, the user really matters. I mean, of course, after we have that high level with the people who are interested, we can have a session on how to do the application. They're not left to their demise. to apply by themselves. So we're also happy to have a follow-on on that meeting where we will also help people who are interested with the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth, for the question. So we hear from the audience, as you say, from participants. Please feel free to express yourself, to provide feedback, actually, which will be very helpful to the colleagues to respond to that, maybe customize their half-day workshop based on the feedback. I can see we now have Chris Appiah from ECOWAS, and we have EAC who's connected also. Yeah?
We've been discussing. We actually had a meeting with Chris already, and our first client is also from AAC. So it would be great to also hear from them, but also from people who have not. Yeah, this is a safe space.
Yeah, please go on. Don't go ahead. You can express yourself.
Or they can privately send us an email.
You can also
we have our contact information on the presentation, so they're welcome to submit privately as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, yeah. Elsa. Thanks, Dr. Krishna and the team. Ibrahim, thanks very much.
Oh, great, Chris.
I wasn't able to join from the beginning, but I think I followed the discussion. We've taken this more of as an information session. So when we get to the doing, I think we'll be bugging your phones and your emails more. But for now, I personally don't have any questions or anything like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, I just want to acknowledge Chris and the ECOWAS team who have been extremely proactive. We're hoping to re-engage and make sure that we provide services to them. But since the PDAP process, ECOWAS, among other RECs, has been exceptionally participant in what we're doing. So thank you, Chris, for making your comment.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Any other contribution, questions or comments, remarks?
Can I, yes,
Gilbert,
maybe again with respect to the responses, would that be, I mean, because you are giving consultants, would you involve the stakeholders, the project stakeholders in identifying, in recruiting the consultants, procuring the consultants, or, you know, because that could, because it looks like if you don't give them funds like what IPPF does, they may renege, which is not correct. But I think it's not necessary to give them money, but you could probably involve them in the selection of the consultants. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So I think the question can have two levels, at least, of response. Like I said, one of the expert service pool is a once contracted firm. So we contracted the firm that has a number of experts within we contracted the pool at once.
Okay.
And at the moment we were contracting the pool, we didn't know specifically which project we are going to work on. And at the same time, we cannot have like a process where we have to involve all the countries, all the African countries that we are recruiting a pool of experts, and this is the type of expertise, et cetera, et cetera. However, we have the PIDA steering committee, and all the SDM process doesn't go ahead without the approval of the PIDA steering committee. So this is the first level. The second level is once we agree with a project sponsor on services that we are going to provide, then maybe your question is that what is the leverage of the project sponsor to select its to select the expert? Like you rightfully mentioned it, we do not disperse the fund, we disperse the expertise. I think it's fair enough to say that we can be open to conversation if, for instance, we agree to deliver on certain activity and either the project sponsor question the quality of the deliverables or the quality of the expertise. I think we are more than open to discuss and see how best we can serve the client in that context. But colleagues can complement Elsa, please.
Okay, thank you, Ibra. I think one of this is not something that is different from the other development agencies are doing. We're trying to shorten the processing time. You know, the procurement process takes such a long time when it comes to recruiting consultants. And this is part of the solution, you know, being cost effective, but also time conscious so that we can have a quick turnaround. But having said this, however, as Ibra has said, I mean, we're open to if you've been working with a consultant, but there is a certain limit of work they're going to be doing, we can also complement that. That's not a problem. We just have to have a specific assessment and the supporting documents that are necessary. But the old way or the business as usual, where we recruit for each project, especially when it comes to PETA PUP, for PETA program, it's not very efficient. We've seen that we have a new paradigm of how we do things, and we want to see how we can progress and change things so that we can serve you faster and more cost effectively. Thank you.
Ibra, if I can come in. I think the one opportunity to select local expertise would be when SDM applies for IPPF funding for member states, and when that funding becomes available, then there's a potential to have local consultancies bid for it, and that may be possible. So I think there may be a lot of that where local consultancies can be more appropriate and may work well as a process. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan, for this. Any other questions or comments? Tiny, Hello, Dr. Krishna. Tiny. Yes.
Hello, Krishna.
Yes, Suleiman, and then we'll go to Dr. Silit. Yeah.
Mr.
Tumani, yeah. Yeah, go on.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
My name is Engineer Suleiman Athmani. I'm the senior engineer with the East African Community. My question, or rather what I wanted to know is, currently we are having a project packaging which is being supported by NEPAD. And we have been having those all sectors under infrastructure to identify how do we package these projects. My question now is, once we conclude the study, how are we going, what will be the approach in implementation? Because I've seen the SDM services include investability. So how are we going to collaborate? And as far as, organizational or management structure is concerned, because you'll be dealing now with blocks. Now, how do we go about when we have identified projects so that we can get this support? How are we going to go about it? Yeah.
So I think Ibra, it's leave you to answer this.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Suleiman, for the question. Indeed, there is an ongoing project packaging exercise within ESG, and so the standard way is that once the project are packaged is, if it's for the SDM support, it will be the same process. Like I explained, we will either contact you or you will reach out so that we can fill the application form and once we have the, we will assess your application, and then from the application we will identify the need, and then we can carry ahead. If the project is at a more mature stage where the issue is mainly about financing and private sector mobilization or investor mobilization, we can link you with our sister instrument, the Continental Business Network for Infrastructure Financing, CBN. And the CBN team can be also able to assist in reaching out potential investors and see how best they can help the project to move ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ibra. I think Dr. Silit, you've raised your hands. Please go on.
Thank you, Dr. Krishna. My question is rather practical now. Two things. Is the service provided paid? I mean that, for example, if a project doesn't have yet financial support, does the SDM receive cost for the services that they provide? This is my first question. The second question, if we are, like in French, we say à califourchon, in between two stages, we have something that is not really complete, that maybe terms of reference that need to be more fine-tuned, and we don't have also the fund. Do you help in this to fine-tune the TOR before and help us find a fund? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Silit. So, Ibra, I think question is addressed to
Thank you so much, Doctor, for the question. Very practical. Yes, if you have, if you are in a situation that the project doesn't have funding at all, like I said, we have some we have some support that we can right away provide, which means it will not cost you, because our objective is to move the project toward a maturity stage. So the project, that support that will consist in the initial screening of the project, identifying the need and the key activity that need to be undertaken, that one we can do it. Now, once we identify the need, and if we realize that it will require further resources than the one we have, then we can dedicate further time and resources to assist you to access funding for the project. In the second case, where you have part of the funding but you don't have the other part, and you said, can we help you to update the term of reference and also assist you to access the fund? Yes. The first part of the activity, which is assisting you to update the term of reference, it's clear. Yeah, this is so the SDM can do it. Now, assist them to access the funding. Yes, we can do it. Like I said, this all depends on agreement that we will conclude jointly with your institutions. Thank you. Yes. So in a more practical way, Dr. Slip, go ahead. If we can have your contact details, and if you have the project, and then right after the meeting, then we can engage with you so that you can fill the application form, and then we assess the project and see what we can do. Thank you.
Krishna, yes. Can I come in?
Yeah, please, Morgan.
So just to clarify for the colleagues, we have two instruments. The one is SDM that Ibra just described, where it provides assistance and support in different forms for projects and getting projects to move along. But we also have CBN, the Continental Business Network. Now, that instrument is designed to assist projects that are more advanced, where it requires capital funding for the actual physical implementation of the project. And I'm not going to say too much about that, But I think part of the webinars moving forward is that possibly we will arrange a separate webinar to talk about how the CBN works and how we will assist projects to mobilize capital funding for implementation. Thank you.
Krishna, we can't hear you.
Yes. Krishna, you're muted.
Sorry. I think part of the earlier question was about, does SDM charge for the services? Actually, the initial part which you can provide internally, is it provided free to the applicant, to the beneficiary of the services? Can you hear me, Ibrahim?
Yeah. Yes. So, like I said, it's on case by case. It's really depending on the project, and I insist on that. It's really depend on the context, the project, the dimension, the potential, how attractive the project is. Is it for the private sector, and also, how publicly funded the project can be. On that particular aspect, those questions taken into consideration when we provide advanced advisory services, and when we assist the project to access funding, we can recover a certain percentage of the resources we put for the project to access to the fund.
Okay, it's thank really you.
On case by case, yes.
Thank you. That's a very, very clear answer. Thank you. So, colleagues, any other questions? I think some of the colleagues are having to leave. Maybe there are other meetings lined up for some of us also. So, any other questions you would like? But as colleagues said earlier, and if you want to raise further questions, I mean, don't hesitate to send an email to colleagues, to the colleagues from SDM AUDA, or the presentation will be posted on the website. So, Ibra, if you could actually send it directly to Ephraim, he will post it on the website tomorrow, from tomorrow tonight. So you can send the latest presentations, and they will be posted.
Thank you so much. I will do that. And if that's the end, before you conclude, Chair, I would like to, on behalf of AUD and EPA, to sincerely thank all our participants from the member state, from the regional economic communities, and from fellow organizations for taking time to this session. We sincerely appreciate, and please let's continue the conversation either via email or any other platforms. Our doors remain fully open for the countries and for the REX as far as the PDAP process is concerned. Please, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ibra. So I think we thank you again to all the participants and member states, REX, who attended. And we also have a session planned for tomorrow, actually, the French-speaking session for our colleagues from mostly Central Western Africa and also Northern Africa. So we will convene again tomorrow for the French session. So thank you, everybody. Thanks to all of you. I see there's a question type from Mr. Suleiman. What about these projects which were not on the SDM and which were developed from other mechanisms, but in a way have been stuck? Can SDM take them up? Maybe we take this last question and then we can close.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Suleiman. And so if those projects, as long as they are part of PIDA project, there is no problem. We can get involved in the project and see what in diagnostic and see which solution can be provided. So Suleiman, please let's continue the conversation and via email. Let me just drop my email in the chat and
Please do. Let's do this. Yeah. Please do. Please send put your email in the chat. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can definitely take forward the project. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ibra. Okay. So, colleagues, if there are no other further questions, since we've reached the time, we don't want to overflow. Unless somebody wants to intervene, I think we thank you all, and then we will stop here for today. And those of you who speak French or want to attend tomorrow, or welcome. I see there's Mike Salawu has joined from the African Development Bank. Mike, would you like to say a few words?
Especially regarding NEPAD IPPN.
Yes, since we had a question.
And the link with the SDM.
Yeah. So Mike, if you're hearing us, we had a question earlier about what is the interlinkage between SDM and NEPAD IPPF. And I think the reply which was given by our colleagues was that the SDM can feed, actually, can act as a feeder into the NEPAD IPPF pipeline. SDM can help these projects to move towards readiness into the NEPAD IPPF pipeline. So, okay, maybe Mike is not next to his.
Yeah.
Hello? I think you're muted, Mike. Yeah. Okay, so I think we can't hear from him.
Call it a day.
Yeah, that's it. I think we'll call it a day, and we'll convene again tomorrow for the French session for our colleagues from French speaking colleagues. Okay,
thank you
all. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.